This is Ernest Wilson of Seagirt, New Jersey, giving two messages on the second epistle of John. The first will present an introduction to the epistle and an outline of its five divisions. The second will be an exposition of the five sections of the epistle, ending with an appendix. 2nd and 3rd John are the shortest letters in the New Testament, shorter even than Philemon and the Epistle of Jude, which are the only New Testament epistles consisting of one chapter. But although short, they are profoundly important. The same themes which John has expounded at length in his first epistle, the themes of life, light, love, and fellowship, are here introduced in abbreviated form and are applied in the second epistle to the Christian home, and in the 3rd John, to the work of itinerant evangelism. The second epistle of John is unique. It is the only part of the Bible addressed to a lady. The books of Ruth and Esther in the Old Testament are accounts of God's dealings with two women, but 2nd John is directly addressed to a woman. As this is so unusual, some have suggested that the elect lady symbolizes a church. Others think that it is addressed to Lady Electa, Electa being her name. A third suggestion is that the letter was sent to an unnamed Christian mother, the manner in which it is addressed indicating honor and respect. We do not know the identity of the lady or where she lived, but the following considerations would indicate that the letter was addressed to an individual and not to a church. In the salutation of verse 3, we have the words, "Grace, mercy, and peace." This reminds us of other salutations addressed to individuals. For instance, the letters to Timothy and the letter to Titus, we find the word mercy. It is never used in any other epistle addressed to an assembly, but always to an individual. If we admit that the lady symbolizes a church, it raises the question, who were the children? The children of a church is an expression never found in Scripture. That the church is a mother is characteristic of Roman dogma, but it is completely foreign to the teaching of the New Testament. The assembly is presented as the bride of Christ, but she is not yet the wife. To speak of the universal church or a local church as already married with children is absurd and not according to the clear teaching of the New Testament concerning the church. Thus we conclude that the letter is addressed to a Christian mother, perhaps a widow, as there is no mention of her husband. She has children. The fact that the apostle uses the expression, "I found off thy children walking in the truth," might indicate that some were not walking as they should. Perhaps there was a problem in the home, as in so many homes today. The simplest explanation of Lady Electa would be that the epistle is not written to a church, or to some deeply read theologian, or to a profoundly intelligent divine, but to a mother and her children. In John's second epistle, the great principles of truth and love are applied to the Christian home. It must be protected at all costs against the poison from outside that would corrupt and tear it apart. The Christian home is the foundation of society and the masterpiece of Christianity. Satan knows this very well, and for this reason it is under attack today. The breakdown of discipline and lawlessness starts there. Both parent and child are equally responsible. From the home it extends into the educational system, and from there into every phase of society. The ultimate outcome is the breakdown of government, resulting in universal anarchy. In the first century, there were no luxury hotels or roadside motels where itinerant preachers could stay when on their extensive journeys and visits to the scattered churches throughout the Roman Empire. Sir William Ramsay tells us that the ancient inns were little removed from houses of ill fame and were indescribably dirty and infested with vermin. This was the reason for the exhortations given to the early Christians to show hospitality to fellow believers. This is mentioned again and again by Paul and by our Lord himself. Paul was entertained by Aquila and Priscilla at Corinth and at Ephesus, by Lydia at Philippi, and by Mnason at Jerusalem. But this gracious hospitality could be abused by false teachers who were undermining apostolic teaching, or by charlatans who would take advantage of Christian love to get free board and lodging. 2 and 3 John gives instructions and sane advice as to who should not be received into the home and who should be received and helped forward in their work. This requires a combination of truth on the one hand and love on the other. A kindly, gracious, motherly person could easily be deceived by a smooth tongue and courtly manners. Christians, as a rule, are unsuspicious and anxious to believe the best about a person, and therefore often very gullible. It is worthy of note how carefully and delicately the apostle addresses the lady. There is no undue familiarity. As a venerable servant of Christ, he uses courtesy and respect and expresses Christian affection. In the third epistle, he calls Gaius beloved, but avoids the word here. How guarded we ought to be in all our natural relationships. In 2 and 3 John, the apostle calls himself the elder. The term elder here apparently is not an ecclesiastical or official title, but would denote an aged or older man, a mature counselor and guide. Peter uses the word of himself in 1 Peter 5:1. John is now the last survivor of the link between the earthly life of Jesus and the close of the first century. He is an old man and has been in God's school about 70 years. Four titles are used of him, indicating four stages of progress in his life. Like other writers of the New Testament, he keeps himself in the background and likes to remain anonymous. In Mark 3:17, he and his brother James were called Boanerges, sons of thunder, by the Lord when he called them to his service. As young men, there was something of thunder and lightning in their character. On one occasion, they asked the Lord to call down fire from heaven and consume a village that had refused to receive them. Then in John's Gospel, five times he is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. He occupied the place of intimacy on Jesus' bosom. In 2 and 3 John, he is the elder, the shepherd and counselor of the people of God. In Revelation 1:9, he is designated as your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. The overall theme of 2 John is the truth and love in its application to the Christian home. The two words, truth and love, occur about 10 times each in 2 and 3 John. They are perfectly balanced. In this second epistle, truth occurs 5 times and love 4 times. In Ephesians 4:15, Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Truth is the principle, and love is the energy of the Christian life. To walk only in truth would make one hard. To walk only in love would make one soft. walking in both equally balanced makes a mature Christian. As in everything else, Christ is the supreme example. He was full of grace and truth. John 1:14. As Satan is the lie personified, so Christ is the truth personified. When Christ stood before Pilate and testified to the truth, the Roman judge exclaimed, "What is truth?" But like many today, he did not wait for an answer. In John's Gospel, the word truth occurs 22 times. Three times it is applied to Christ, three times to the Holy Spirit, and three times to the Word. Twice it is applied to worship. Here is the clue to the knowledge of the truth. To learn of Christ, who is the truth? By the Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth? Through the Word, which is the Word of truth, results in true worship. The epistle could be outlined as follows. 1. Knowing the truth, verses 1 to 3. Truth and love in the head or the mind, grasping it with the intellect. The source of that knowledge is the Father and the Son, verse 3. 2. Practicing the truth, verses 4 to 6. Truth and love in the heart, motivated by love and demonstrated in the daily walk. 3. Testing the truth, verses 7 to 9. Truth and love in relation to the heretic. The deceiver and the antichrist must be given a test. 4. Discipline of the truth, verse 10. Truth and love in the home. No entrance can be given to false teaching. 5. Etiquette and the truth. Truth and love in the hand. The significance of saying Godspeed to the heretical teacher. Then the appendix. The value of face-to-face fellowship resulting in fullness of joy.